Hey, yo, say hello to the band, Scott Hall.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Hi, this is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TPP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. Stay tuned or you will feel bang!
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line, the Stone Cold Cetro.
The world is listening.
Welcome to SNS Sticks and Kicks, your one-stop shop for all the 2014 FIFA World Cup action. And here is your host, the man himself, Mr. Ashley Richardson.
Day 6 of SNS Sticks and Kicks with me, Ashley Richardson. And, mixed bag of a day, really. Very entertaining matches all round, even though one may not look it from the scoreline. So, we'll get straight into it. Starting off with the first match, Belgium versus Algeria. Which certainly had an unexpected first half, should I say, as Algeria did take the lead about somewhere in the middle of the first half, roughly. Player Sofiane Feghouli, apparently this is her name, got fouled by Jan Vertonghen. And Feghouli took the penalty and got it in. Good penalty. Keeper could have done better, but it was still a good performance. Then, really, for the whole second half, it was more a case that it was really the substitutes for Belgium making the impact that they needed to get the victory, which they did. Spoilers. So, about 70 minutes into the match, there was a very well put in, I think it was a cross. I can't remember if it's a cross or a corner. Because it was quite a few hours back. Yeah, it was I think it was flicked on from, I can't remember who the player was, but towards the end of the match, the Algerian side were really getting a bit worn out and knackered, which is not the thing you want for a World Cup, let's be honest. Let's have a quick look. It was Mario Fellaini getting the cross, or scoring from the cross with a very nice little header. And then about 10 minutes later, it was one of the man of the match, or sorry, one of the man of the match involved in the match decider, De Bruyne, I think his name is. I'm not sure how that's pronounced right. But, yeah, he got the ball off the goalie pretty much in his own half. So he was really, if you looked at it on paper, it sort of was a case of how. It shouldn't have been the case. He passed the ball to Eden Hazard and managed to speed down the wing. Crossed it. Well, no, I don't think he crossed it in. He passed it over to Dries Mertens. I want to get the full name right. I'm just having a quick look at the notes that are here that I've got from the BBC. But, yeah, it was a really well-put-together move. And to be honest, Belgium probably deserved to win because towards the end it really did become quite a lot of the pasting. If you want to look at the stats, there's no possession stats. I guess that broke. I don't know. In terms of shots, there was only 3 shots from Algeria compared to the 17 of Belgium. And out of the 3, 1 was on target for Algeria and 8 out of the 17. So even then, Belgium had a better success rate than Algeria, even though Algeria only did 3 shots. really, I guess the only positive that Algeria can take from it is the fact that they ended their run of 506 minutes without a goal at in the World Cup finals. They hadn't scored. Let me have a quick look because the stat was there. They hadn't scored a goal in World Cup proper finals since 1986. So it's been 28 years in the making. So I guess that's all that matters. Wow. it's just ridiculous. Also worth noting that the Belgian keeper, Courtois, who didn't have a lot to do. He is the keeper of, the keeper of the Atletico Madrid side that did absolute wonders in the Spanish league, winning the league for Atletico, and also coming runners-up in the Champions League with some very good stuff. In terms of attendance, let's have a look, 62,000. 56,800. See, because that's a round number, that seems like capacity. So I don't know what's going on there. But overall, it's probably fair that Belgium should have won. They probably are the strongest team in that group. But we'll get to the other two teams later on. Because thanks to the schedule that is, I guess it's understandable for like television reasons and all that. Second match. Was the second match. Or I should clarify that. The second match of the day was the first of the second group matches for the teams. So it was Brazil who came off their opening day 3-1 victory over Croatia, taking on Mexico, who were on top 1-0 in their match against Cameroon in the first match. And no, I'll say it now. This match went 0-0, but this match was 0-0 because of probably the two stars of the match. One was Julio Cesar, and two, understandably man of the match, was the Mexican keeper, Ochoa. He did, I think, what is referred to as an absolute blinder. As Wade Barrett probably would never say, because that's just wrong. The amount of ridiculously awesome saves. And I know I've used that a lot, but it refers to it here. It was sort of a case where Brazil should have done better because Fred, their like striker, their attacking forward, did nothing. And really, it's been a bad World Cup for him because he disappointed in the first game. Neymar did his best. Quite a few of the others did their best. Oscar, but it was really the keeping from both sides that saved it, really. Thiago Silva had a very good chance. Neymar had quite a lot of good chances. But Guillermo Ochoa did wonders, and I'm just wondering whether he might be wanted by some of the big European sides now because of what happened. But Mexico were testing Cesar quite a bit, mainly through Jimenez when he came on for the last 15 or 20 minutes. And yeah, there was quite a few good shots from them as well. Quite a lot that actually just went by the post or over the bar. So I don't know whether they classify shots on target, but there were certainly, it was certainly impressive. But it really sort of did show the fact that if basically the big four, you know, the big attackers of Brazil in Neymar and Oscar aren't in form, Brazil is a very average side, because Fred was useless, got subbed off. Paulinho and Gustavo weren't that good in midfield. Dani Alves had some pretty bad mistakes. You know, this is a stat that says a lot. This is supposed to be an attacker, but also that supplying the balls to pass to the sort of forward line of three that is sitting just behind Fred. Out of the 16 passes that he did, only 8 went to a Brazilian player. In terms of the position that he's in, that should be at least a 75%, not a 50-50. So, apparently, Ochoa made, apparently recognised the 6 saves in the game, and no keeper has made more in a game in this World Cup so far. Apparently, the Algerian keeper did 6 as well in the earlier match. But, yeah, it proved that he was in very, very good form. And it does, you know, Mexico, for the last 15, 20 minutes, looked the stronger side. And I don't think, depending what happens and everything, of course, you know, if Cameroon do beat Croatia, you know, let's say, I don't know whether I could say Cameroon could beat Croatia. I think I have to see Cameroon first before I might be able to give a judgment on that and start giving predictions on what I think will be happening. But, yeah, it was certainly an understrength Brazil, and with the results how they are, it is possible that, depending how results go, it is possible for Brazil not to qualify. But I'd have thought, considering both Brazil and Mexico got their draw, they're now on 4 points. Basically, I would say if the match tomorrow is a draw with Croatia and Cameroon, I'd say we've got our top two. It's just probably a case on goal difference as to who will go through as the group winners and the group runners-up, I would say. But yeah, and just having a quick look at the stats. Again, we've got no possession. Apparently the possession meter is broken or something. It used to show the possession and now they're not. This is not right. It was about even on shots. 14 Brazil, 13 Mexico. More on target, obviously, for Brazil. But there were quite a few shots that were sort of not going their way, I'd say. If that's even a thing. I don't know. But in terms of attendance, let's have a quick look. As I stupidly shut something, 60,342. 63,000 apparently the full capacity is, so very full. But then again, it's Brazil and Mexico, two teams that have really got a lot of support, so it's understandable. And then finally, basically due to the Middle East market, left until the end of the day, Russia versus South, which I can't really say it's a game of two halves. It was just a game of one half, and then the other half where nothing happened. Sadly, the half where nothing happened for that one, so, well, really, was the first half. It was, up at half time, should I say. It was a 0-0 draw. But I won't say it's a bad performance by either team, but I don't know. Could have been done better. So the second half, the big moment in terms of the goal, what happened? Basically, it was a long range shot from Lee Kyung Ho. It was a problem about like 40 or 50 yards, about 40 meters or so, probably. I'm trying to get the conversion right. That probably isn't perfect, but let's say about 40 meters out from the goal. Did a long range shot, and the Russian goalkeeper, Igor Akinfeev, basically let it for his hands, and it went in the goal. And he basically had done badly. It's just, it wasn't very well done. They had, it was a lucky goal, I will admit, but certainly they were the ones that were looking more like that they were going to do something, shall we say. But then about 10 minutes after that, in the 74th minute, actually it was the 64th minute when the goal went in, but just having a quick look, there was quite a few substitutions made. He already made Dzhigoyev substitute in Shatov. Yes, that is his name. But then, pretty much just after the goal was scored, the Russian coach, Fabio Capello, who's Italian, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, had Zirkov replaced by Kurzakov, and Glushakov replaced by Denisov. And it was Alexander Kurzakov, the substitute, basically doing a very nice goal. I will say, he'd only been on the field for 3 minutes and did a pretty nice, good... it was actually Dzagov's shot that was saved, but it was basically, it rebounded off the keeper and just knocked it in to get the equalising goal. There was possibly a chance from Russia at the end to get the win, but it eventually stayed a draw. But for the majority of the match, South Korea had the momentum, but certainly when the substitutions were made by Russia, they looked to be the team that were in form, shall we say. But yeah, in the end, it's a 1-1 draw, which obviously plays a big advantage to the situation for Belgium now, because obviously Belgium are the only team with a 100% record in that group. Belgium have got to play Russia next, but it is going to be in Rio de Janeiro, which is something I'll get to in a minute. The man in the match was the South Korean forward, who did have quite a few efforts on goal, but wasn't successful. And that was Soo Hyung-min, who did get substituted off. It's confusing because I don't know if it's pronounced Soon or Sun or... The problem is, the way it's listed on official websites is the other way around. Because most of the Middle Eastern countries, certainly South Korea and... certainly South Korea, they put the surnames first, but the first names last. So Sun Heung-min is his actual name, but on the FIFA site it's Heung-min Sun, even though it's actually in their culture they do it the other way around. So, you know, Heung-min Sung is his name in Western world, but because it's a South Korean, you do it the other way around. So that's it's just confused me. I just didn't get it. In terms of stats, which for some reason there are possession stats for this one, so apparently the possession stats on the other two matches were broken. It was even, roughly, you know, it's 51, so it's just slightly edged to South Korea, but it was pretty much 50-50. So in that essence, probably a draw was the fair money. Numbers were significantly down, about 7,000 down in terms of the attendance in Cuiabá. But then again, I don't think these are two of the big teams that are going to be in form. Tomorrow could be different, I will say. But before I get to that, a report that cropped up today, which is relevant because it comes into effect with one of tomorrow's matches. The Maracanã, the historic stadium in Rio de Janeiro, basically there's only so much foot access to the stadium. So the Brazilian authorities have put up temporary staircases, except a video cropped up on YouTube when the stadium was used for the first time, which was the Argentina-Bosnia match, and the thing shaking side to side. Now obviously the rule would be, well, a similar thing happened sort of to the Millennium Bridge over here in London in the UK. And what it was is because people were doing the same sort of repetition, you know, walking along, you know, foot pace, the pace was causing the shake. And that's what's happened here. But the other problem is, if you look at the thing, it's, the reporter that was there from the BBC started at the top and basically shook the rail because it was loose. Then he went a bit further down the steps and there was basically a loose step. Or certainly one that wasn't affixed properly. There's nails that have been bashed in, bent over, because they haven't been nailed in properly. There's one bit where the handrail, scaffold pole that's been put there, has fallen off. And is basically just hanging there. And then it cuts to basically underneath. And there is one bit where it's apparently the stand is being held up on a block of splintered wood that looks like it's just going to crumble into nothing. To me, I'd be scared shitless with something like that. And the most scary thing is, it's going to be used tomorrow for one of the matches and then again on Sunday for... Belgium and Russia's match. But tomorrow, sticking with that first, the opening match of the day, we'll see Australia versus Holland in Group B. Obviously, Holland will want to get another win to secure their place definitely in the next round. Australia obviously will want to get the win, because don't get me wrong, it was a spirited performance by them, but just Chile were the best on the better on the day. We've got to see if that Holland massacre of Spain was a one-off. Then in Rio de Janeiro at the Maracanã with the dodgy stairs, Spain versus Chile. So again, two major, major Latin countries. So you might have a big attendance here. I don't know how short it will be, if at all. But yeah, basically, if Spain don't win that, I'd say even if they draw or lose, they're probably out of the competition, depending what happens. Because if the Holland Dutch team win and Chile draw with Spain, that means Spain can only catch Chile, which obviously they need. Spain would then need assistance by the team that absolutely thrashed them. But then, of course, certainly on the pace that it is, it looks like Spain could be playing Brazil in the last 16, which could get interesting. I can't wait till next Monday. And then the final match of the day is the other match from Group A, from the second round of matches, Cameroon versus Croatia. Both teams, obviously, as I mentioned before, lost their opening matches. And you'd have thought on paper, Croatia should be the victors there. It's not a great Cameroon side, but you never know. I've expected things and they've gone completely wrong already, but I'd say Spain-Chile will probably be the match to watch out of those three. That'll be the that's going to be the crunch one. Chile, one of the informed teams, probably. And Spain, it's make or break for them. If it goes wrong, they could be the first team out of the competition. And of course, they'd be the first team out as world champions. So that's the curse of France winning in 98 and then going out in the first round in 2002. Right there. All happening 12 years on. So, that is all for today. Check out all the other shows here on the network. Unplugged. It was supposed to be Tuesday, but it's a special episode, so it's now going to be Thursday. So, in a day or so, depending. Yeah, let's say tomorrow, shall we say. Because I know that I'm recording this very late on, late Tuesday, early Wednesday morning, shall we say. So, yes, check that out this Thursday at 9 with Bronx and Jeff. But its usual slot of Tuesday at 9 should be coming up, as usual, from next week. Then you've also got Sunday Night Showdown coverage coming next Sunday for Money in the Bank. And then podcasts, Elite Force podcast with Walking and Mindwipe, Beyond the Bell with Sean Beckerman, Get in the Zone with Bronx Anthony and L-Train, the whole indie show with myself, Randy and Sandro, and SNS Sticks and Flicks you can check out. So tomorrow we finally start moving closer and closer to that second week of these shows. Because, yeah, from the looks of the way the fixed chart, there's going to be 15 straight days of me. So we're nearly halfway there, people. You nearly get a day off from me. That's, of course, if you're listening to this. However, if you're not listening to this, how are you hearing this? I guess telepathy can work. Anyway, I hope to see you tomorrow for Sticks and Kicks, Day 7. Este samba que é misto de maracatu, é samba de preto bem.